But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other. So we've looked at love, we've looked at joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness. So now we're going to look at faithfulness. The Greek word here, pistis, is the word that's translated here to be faithful, faithfulness. Now, this is actually a very interesting word because it has a lot of different references in Greek culture. For example, one of those is that the word here, pistis, means, a daimo. What that is, a personified spirit. And it represents honesty, trust, good faith. And so this personified spirit is referenced in Greek mythology because when Pandora's box was opened, this spirit, if you will, that represents good faith or honesty, trust, flees back into heaven. Now, it's kind of interesting here because if you think about it, our faith, when it's realized, will lead us back to God the Father and will lead us back to heaven. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who seeks or who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. But also, this word refers to rhetoric, or the idea of making an argument or giving proofs of something. See, there's in Greek culture, there's three modes of pistis or of argument or proof. And in the second mode of this, the idea is that the subject or proof, in this case the pistis, can appeal to a person's intellect or logic. Now what's interesting about this is that we actually see this play out in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, these people that they're referring to, Hebrews chapter 11, would be Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs who were looking for something better. And the reason that they were looking for something better, a country of their own, is that there was proof, there was an argument, there was a pistis that appealed to their intellect or their logic that this was something that was a reality. That maybe though they might not receive it now, they would eventually receive it. And then thirdly, so we see this in Greek mythology. We see this also in Greek rhetoric. But we even see this as far as maybe that a better way of translating this Greek word would be to translate it to be trust. And not just simply maybe faith, but to just completely call this and translate this word whenever we see it as just to be trust. Because the idea with this word is very similar to what we see in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now, with seeing this, what does it all mean then? Okay, it's a nice little culture lesson, maybe a nice little history or mythology lesson with Greek culture, but what's the point of this? Well, part of the problem when maybe we hear the word faith is that we have it pinned down as a fantastical belief in something that's supernatural. And what I mean by that is that maybe we think about believing in God as almost like believing in Santa. But that's not at all what it is. See, faith in God, that the word here, is not the same as a belief in something that we cannot prove or is not real or is a fantasy. But it's an absolute. Faith is a trust in something that is true and is proven. Consider the evidence of the scripture as being something inspired. We have over 20,000 manuscripts that are parts of the Bible or complete biblical books. Other cultures have accounts of biblical events. In the Babylonian culture alone, the Enuma Elish talks about creation. Gilgamesh talks about the flood. And there are non-inspired writers that constantly refer to Christianity. A couple of those being Josephus, Thallus, Tacitus, and Mar Bar Serapion. So why does this all matter? Well, it matters because maybe it'll help us view Hebrews 11:1 in a clearer, a better picture. See, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence, or it's the reality. It's not a belief in a fantasy, but it's something that is true. Now, faith is confidence, truth, reality, and what we hope for, an assurance, tangible evidence about what we do not see. So when I consider my faith in Christ Jesus as the salvation of my life, and that's why we're here to partake of the Lord's Supper, I can know with assurance that what Peter says in his first epistle to the Christians is true. It's faithful. It's trustworthy. When he says in 1 Peter 2:24, he, this being Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And then 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. So when we have faith as a product of the fruit of the Spirit, it is a trust in something that is real, that is true, that is assured. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessing. We pray, Father God, that as we partake of this, the emblems here that you have set up through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we partake of his body and blood figuratively, but we partake figuratively of something that is reality. He did die on the cross, and he did it for our sins. He bore our sins. He bore our iniquities. He carried our chastisement so that we may be sanctified, we be made righteous, we may be made holy in your sight. And not only did he carry those on the tree, on the cross, and took away our sins, Lord, but in 3 days, it is true. It is real. He arose. It is not a fantasy. It is not fiction, but it is reality. And we come here to celebrate that truth and to celebrate that faith that we have because the evidence is there. So, Father God, as we grow in our faith, as we grow in the trust and truth that is your word and is your Son and it is you, Father God, we pray, Lord God, that remember we are here today to partake because it is a mode, a manner to help our faith grow. We praise you and we thank you through Christ Jesus. Amen.